Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. I am here today with my guest, Kenneth McKay of Initiative 2. And today we are discussing how much money should a business invest into their online marketing. Kenneth studied economics, so everything he does for his clients is focused on the financial benefit it will bring them. His first career was in IT project management, where he had to salvage lots of failing projects that were late and over budget. That was a good grounding for when he set up Initiative 2 in 2002. It means it's all about results and clients remain without the need for lengthy contracts. Thanks so much for joining us today, Kenneth.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm looking forward to this, Julia.
So let's dive into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
I'm tuning in from Aberdeen in Scotland in the UK.
Amazing. I cannot wait to get out there again. It is such a beautiful part of the world.
You'll be very welcome.
And what would you say motivates or inspires you?
I like solving problems. I like helping people by solving problems. Mm-hmm. I like a challenge. Or put another way, I don't like a mundane existence. I like when there's variety. I like when we can see the results. Mm-hmm. And I like when our clients can benefit from the results.
Yes.
Because otherwise it's just a job. You're on a production line.
Exactly. Oh, I love that. And then, so tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
Almost by mistake. My previous career, as you mentioned, was in IT project management. Mm-hmm. And the last project I was involved in lasted several years, had a team of people. Mm-hmm. And latterly, we were involved in putting together a new website for the organization. It was a large organization. It was a very large, complex website. And this was 2000, so a long time ago, when these things were big, difficult projects. Mm-hmm. You couldn't buy off-the-shelf solutions. So we did that. It was a great success, but our contract there came to an end. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I set up Initiative 2 to give both I and some of my team work.
Right.
And to capitalize on the experience that we had gained. So back in 2002, Initiative 2 was a full service web agency, which basically means we did a bit of everything.
Okay.
We built websites, we did everything around that. But very quickly, we discovered we were good at getting people to visit websites, which was SEO or search engine optimization.
Yep.
It was really the only option back then. So we concentrated more and more on that, less and less on the other things. And so it has progressed over the last 19 years.
Okay.
There are lots of people who do lots of good stuff with websites, but the big misunderstanding with many businesses is that unless people visit the website, and unless those are the right people, mm-hmm. and unless you can capture their interest and get them to basically give you money, it's all for nothing. So that's where we come in. And by not doing other things, such as designing websites, it means that we do not have any potential conflict with other professionals who feel it's right and proper to introduce their clients to other professionals who can complete the jigsaw.
Right. Okay. So what services are you guys currently offering? Are you still doing the web design, or are you now more focused on SEO?
It's very much our primary purpose or primary focus these days is Google Ads, pay-per-click.
Interesting.
We offer services on other paid platforms on LinkedIn, Facebook, and the other, mm-hmm. but predominantly Google Ads. We still offer SEO. We're very good at it. But to be honest, in most instances, if we're approached by somebody looking for that, we go through due diligence. We discuss the requirements with them. But more often than not these days, we suggest that SEO is not where they should start. Mm-hmm. You can even use Google Ads as a pilot project, as opposed to what you or Google think they may be looking for. Mm-hmm. Quantify the numbers to see whether it's justifiable to embark on an SEO campaign, or it can also indicate other aspects of your online marketing that you should make better use of. So Google Ads is a very good way of not only getting direct inquiries, but it's very personal, tailored, precise market research, which is a very, it's a use that is not often put to, but mm-hmm. we found it to be very powerful. We've had clients who, one was looking to open up an office in another region of the country, mm-hmm. But they didn't want to go to the expense of opening up an office, recruiting staff, all of that. Right. So what they did, they got a virtual office. We ran a Google Ads campaign for them. It generated inquiries that they physically put a sales team down to meet the clients.
Yep.
That generated business that then supported the business model of opening up an office there. So that was an unusual but very productive use of Google Ads.
Yes.
And with something similar with another client who was looking to open up an office, they were oil related. Mm-hmm. They were looking to open up an office in the Middle East, which covers a vast area, lots of countries. They thought that Dubai was the country that they should target. Mm-hmm. We ran a Google Ads campaign for them, and it turned out that the biggest demand for their services was in Egypt. So before they had spent money on even a plane ticket, they discovered that they were going to go to the wrong continent. Okay, yeah. Only a few hundred miles apart, but again, it saved them a lot of time, a lot of money, by using Google Ads for something other than its primary purpose.
That's really interesting. That's awesome. All right, well, so let's delve into our topic now. So today we're going to be talking about how much money should a business invest into their online marketing. And so what do you recommend to your clients is the sweet spot of dollars to invest in your marketing?
That is literally the $64,000 question. And it comes shrouded in lots of misperceptions. And very often people think in terms of cost. Mm-hmm. And that, I'm not saying how much you spend is unimportant in dollar terms. But if you've, cost is a loaded term. In business, we're always trying to cut costs. Mm-hmm. So if you're embarking on marketing, which, to be honest, to start with, it's unknown what you will get back. Mm-hmm. We've all heard horror stories of campaigns that have gone wrong. So if people go into it with a view of how much it's going to cost, the best thing for them to do is just do nothing, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's better to take a step back and actually work from the back to the front, if we will. Work out what a sale is worth to them. It could be a one-off sale. It could be a recurring annual revenue. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Then if we can work out how many people they have to speak to in real terms or online to get that sale, you know, what their lead to sale conversion rate is.
Okay.
We can then, so we know how much they can justify spending to get a good lead.
Yes.
We can then look at their various online marketing options, Google Ads being one, and it's quite good in that it's measured in terms of cash. Mm-hmm. So from that, we can establish how many people do you think would see an advert before they clicked on it, and mm-hmm. how many would click on it to become a lead. So working back from that, we can get benchmark figures.
Okay.
They can be very precisely calculated, but it's guesstimates each step. but it gives you a ballpark as to whether it's viable or not.
Okay.
And that lets you know whether it's worth even pursuing it in the first place.
Gotcha.
But once it's up and running, once you have hard data, once the theory has gone and you know that you are getting leads, you are getting conversions, you are getting sales, if it's proving profitable, the good thing with Google Ads is that if you were spending 1,000, 1,000,000, 500, whatever the figure was, more often than not, if you were to double that amount, the expectation should be that the return should be at least double, if not more.
Right.
What we find is with Google Ads is as you increase your spend, more of that spend is directed on good stuff, good results, because you've already paid for the overhead, if you will, the wasted spend that any campaign will attract. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So it's more of a an individual basis, depending how much that you're going to spend on your marketing, as opposed to just a percentage of your profits.
It's we've all read 10%, 20%, 5%, a fixed number.
Yes.
Which is fine in principle. And it probably works a lot better for larger organizations. Because I don't know about you, but I've found that so much of the quality literature on marketing and advertising is about what Ford did, what McDonald's do, what the big blue chip entities do.
Yes.
And to be honest, most of our clients come nowhere near that.
They can't relate.
There are hundreds or thousands, and that's per month, not per second.
Yeah.
I mean, we have clients who have been spending, who spend maybe a few hundred per month at the low end of the scale. And they tend to be very local focused. They tend to be businesses who actually do something for a living. They build a driveway, or they do your pool, or they re-roof your house, things like that.
Right.
But we've also had clients spending 15,000 per day. In both cases, the numbers are correct for them, but they would be wrong for one another. And between you and I, the 15,000 a day didn't start at that. They've built up to that over time.
Yeah.
It's become more than self-funding. And frankly, today they'll be spending more than 15,000. You keep increasing your budget until you reach a point where it's no longer generating revenue for you. But for most businesses, unless you're very local, unless you're very niche, scale tends not to be a problem, especially if it's a virtual offering you have, or you have a market you can reach using the internet.
Gotcha. Okay. And then, so how do you think this budget should be tweaked for new businesses? It can be scary to, you know, allocate a budget to marketing when you're brand new, just starting out, but it is important. So how do you approach this?
It's an excellent question. And because we've been doing this for far too long, we've built up a lot of experience of the real world, as opposed to, you know, theory's fine, but the real world is where it happens. And how we operate, I'm not saying this is how you should do it or how others do it, but how we operate, we initially have a conversation with a prospective client to discuss matters like this. And although, as we've discussed earlier, we can't say you must spend 50 or 500 or 5,000 or any figure, but we get a ballpark range. When we're speaking to a client or a prospective client, if the prospective ballpark figure is out with what they are willing or able to spend, then we would advise them that they shouldn't proceed, not at that moment in time. we actually give people a hard time. We make it quite difficult for them to do business with us because we only want to deal with them if we genuinely believe it's going to make a large positive difference for them.
That's
the
good.
Stress positive.
Right.
And what we find with many startup businesses is that they are cash poor.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they have to get results because there's nowhere to hide.
Mm-hmm.
And what I say to people, I'm up front and say, you know, this is a speculative venture.
Mm-hmm.
We can do things with all our experience, with the best of our ability, but there is still an element of doubt, uncertainty, risk. We do so to minimize things.
Mm-hmm.
But if the money you have to spend, if that's all that's keeping you between being repossessed next month or putting food on the table, then think long and hard about spending it on advertising marketing.
Yes.
I'm not disputing for a minute that marketing and advertising is very important,
mm-hmm.
but you have to be very pragmatic about that.
Yes.
And when we have that conversation with a client, very often it makes them really stop, really think. And sometimes suddenly they have extra cash available. You know, they were not willing to be forthcoming because they thought we would just try and spend it all.
Okay, interesting.
Which is not our intention at all.
Yep.
But it means that what they do is then going to be more realistic. They have a much better chance of success. So I'm afraid it's not a very upbeat, give me your money and we'll double it overnight, because we've all come across the people who use the, if you gave me $1 million and I gave you $2 million back, you would do it, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And the logic behind that is perfect. But given my economic background, given a bit of common sense, the real question is, where do you get that initial million?
Mm-hmm.
That's the challenge for most. And what we like to see, because it works to everybody's benefit, is the seed corn investment. You invest a realistic amount, might be a small amount,
mm-hmm.
but it generates enough to pay that off and give you a bit more for the next month, the next quarter. You invest that in your advertising, your marketing, your Google Ads, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It pays for itself, generates more revenue.
Yep.
You can reinvest that in the following week, month, quarter. And that's the process that we find works best.
Okay.
The incremental change might be modest, you know, unlike the people who, oh, yes, we'll double your money in the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
That can happen. It does happen, but not often enough to bet the farm on.
Exactly.
But if you take that compounding effect, we have clients who are spending vastly more than they would ever have contemplated.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't cost them a penny.
Interesting.
Really, because it's been self-funding.
Yeah.
And that's the sweet spot. That's where you can scale up and you can compete against the bigger players who simply have a big war chest, but very often spend it quite in an ill-advised manner. They just blanket things because they have the money. Whereas if you have less money, you have to be smarter.
Yes. Okay. And then, so if you have clients who don't have a large enough budget for you to deliver them meaningful results, mm-hmm. So how do you handle that kind of a client or potential client?
I'd far rather end a conversation giving somebody helpful advice, because, well, it's just a nice thing to do, but also you never know what will happen next week, next month, next year.
Exactly.
And it could be that I give them some advice as to what they can do themselves,
mm-hmm.
because to be honest, there is a lot of stuff available online that isn't as difficult as people arguably on our side of the fence make it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that I introduce them to somebody else who is a better fit, whose skill set or toolbox is better aligned to what they want. Because again, as I said, regardless of how much they have to spend, if it's not a good fit for us, if we don't feel we can make a positive benefit to them, then again, we will say thank you, but no thank you. But we find that if people do the very basics on certain things, for example, a local business, Google My Business, the map thing, do that, do it well, do it consistently, and you are going to get a big bang for your buck.
Yes.
You don't have to be an expert. The good thing is that most of your competitors are probably not doing it well. So that's a bit of advice that I'm quite happy to share. We're not losing anything out of it. The potential client is gaining something out of it, assuming they go ahead and do it, but not that it's difficult, they should just do it.
Yep.
Again, we can maybe point them to things that's maybe not going to work to them, for them rather. You know, people chasing likes on Facebook, it still happens. People still recommend that. We have found in most instances it can be chasing fool's gold. And sometimes forewarned is forearmed. So again, it's just little snippets of experience, things to do, things not to do. Sometimes I feel I'm like somebody's mother. Don't do that. Stop doing that. I told you not to do that. If Isabel's jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff?
So we try to help. Exactly. Yeah. And no, those vanity metrics, it's unreal how many businesses go for them. And the research just shows that you don't have any kind of ROI attached to them at all. So it's just really a waste of time.
But once you start down that road, it's actually very difficult for somebody to stop because it takes maturity and to actually say, we got this wrong. We see it a lot with Google Ads. These days, most of our clients come to us with an existing campaign, an existing account. It's not been delivering the results that they were promised or expected or need. But they believe, they feel it should, they just don't know why. And they come to us and we do come across some campaigns that are set up well. And if so, we will say so. More often, very often we come across ones where they should never have used Google Ads in the first place. And we will say so, advise them to stop. And that's immediately money on the bottom line. But very often we find accounts that have been set up and they've been pursuing it for months, if not years, doing the same thing in the same way and getting the same lack of results. And very often by just simply stepping back, letting us have a look, we can identify the schoolboy errors, action can be taken, and literally overnight, the difference can be seen.
Wow.
But it's difficult. We're all human. We don't like admitting that we made a mistake.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. So when it comes to your agency, do you invest heavily into your marketing as well, or do you receive most of your business from referrals?
These days, most of our business comes from recommendation referrals and people in, I'll say, a distressed situation. We find that for us, LinkedIn is a good source of meaningful inquiries. The people that we seem to be able to help seem to hang out on LinkedIn. We do use Google Ads ourselves periodically, primarily as an, we use it as an experiment because Google is constantly changing things, adding new features, removing features, tweaking things. And we have to, what's the expression, eat your own dog food? We have to you know, try those things out for ourselves. But to be honest, for our agency, for what we do, we actually haven't found Google Ads to be a good source of business. Strange thing for me to say, but it's not strange because it's the fact. What we find is a lot of people are looking for information on Google Ads, but they are not looking to spend money to get somebody to help them with. Mm-hmm. And that's the same. We speak to ourselves in the same way as we speak to our clients. And the fundamental requirement with Google Ads is that sufficient people are looking regularly with buying intent for what it is that you sell.
Okay.
So whether you sell a dog walking service, whether you're a dentist, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a builder in construction, Google Ads will only work for you if enough people are looking for that with a view to spend money with somebody. If they're simply looking so they can do it themselves, it's not a good avenue for you.
Right.
But okay. If they are looking, it's fantastic because those people have pre-qualified themselves. They have effectively put their hand up and said, Julia, I am looking for X. And if you're advertising X because you sell X in their area, you can't get a better inquiry than that.
Exactly. So LinkedIn has worked well for you. Are there any other marketing tactics that have been effective with regards to marketing your agency?
Not sure whether this is a tactic, but it's consistency. Not only in what we say and how we say it and where we say it, but we robustly defend our position, but in a, I'm starting to sound very touchy-feely now, but in a kind way, because online people can have a different opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to get right back into the school playground. And it can get very, my dad's bigger than your dad and you smell. And that sort of very juvenile discussion.
Yeah.
I much rather, when somebody has a difference of opinion, yes, I am right. But, you know, there's no getting away from that. But I have to get them around to my way of thinking. And I'm right only because I've been doing this a while. I've spent my time amongst car crashes of projects. I don't live in an academic theoretical world where everything is smelling of roses. I live in the real world where everything goes wrong. Nothing ever goes right. You know, it's catastrophic, but that's the real world. And usually our clients come to us and say, we were told this, somebody said we should do something else. And there are real life examples of why those things, if they ever were the right thing to do, they are no longer the right thing to do. Very often it was just the wrong thing at the wrong time for the wrong situation. So I like to try and share those examples and get people around to answering the question themselves. And that tends to work rather well. And we've had competitors recommend us. We've had people who have not used us, they've turned us down, in turn have referred us to their contacts because what we had discussed with them turned out to be how it was, as opposed to the much rosier picture someone else had painted them, only to be proved that that's not what it's like in the real world.
Gotcha. So, that's really interesting. And so where do you see Initiative 2 in 5 years' time?
Well, I admire your confidence that I'll still be around in 5 years. It was a real shock recently when I was giving a talk to some students in one of the local universities and discovered it was 40 years since I was last there. So that was a bit of a shock. But no, all joking apart, I would like to think that we will be still operating with the same ethos. Our client base will continue to grow. We're fortunate in that we don't have much churn, so we tend to just continue to grow.
That's great.
And what we find is the more we do, the better we work, the fairer we are with our clients, the luckier we seem to get. We just seem to attract more business.
Yeah.
And it's nice when it comes to us, as opposed to us having to chase people.
Absolutely.
Long may that continue.
Definitely. That's definitely a great goal to have. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So the first question, so what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Well, I actually have it sitting in front of me. It's on the top of my to-do list of books. I haven't read it yet, but I've bought it, which is what the author's most important criteria is. It's a guy called Donald Miller, and it's a book called Building a Story Brand.
Okay.
I think he operates out of Nashville in Tennessee. I may be wrong.
Okay.
But the whole story brand, I think, is his thing. And I'm not sure whether he sort of came up with this idea or popularized it, but I've seen it a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's all about your marketing messages should be termed in terms of a story. And it should all be about the customer or the client or the potential customer, potential client. They are the hero of the story. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with you. It's got nothing to do with the people selling the product or service. Mm-hmm. We are the guide. And the ethos behind this is that you identify the problem that the client or potential client has. Mm-hmm. You empathize with that and say, look, I understand this and we've helped other people like that. And you then lay out your stall. You explain what you can do and how that relates to the problem and how, if they then follow your guidance, they will come to the happy outcome. You know, in a book, it's, you know, the guy gets the girl, or you save the universe, or yep. you find the treasure. If somebody comes to us, they end up with a Google Ads account that generates revenue for them. Not as sexy, maybe not as exciting, but equally important.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So
that's Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller.
Building a Story Brand. All right, that's perfect. And then what does your morning routine look like?
I get up quite early. I like to be up and about before I'm aware I'm up. Mm-hmm. And I like to start work early. And I have the first 90 minutes of my working day, I spend doing working on the business as opposed to in the business.
Ooh,
that's
I like that.
When I do my my creative thinking, my marketing, my what can we do better.
Your big picture thinking.
Yes. It's yes. The things that can actually shift the dial, can make a difference.
Yeah.
And not only does it work for us, but we can then roll that out to our clients as well, either mm-hmm. on a paid basis or very often just sharing tips. It
yep.
can be very beneficial.
Yeah.
So that's, I'd heartily recommend that. I used to start my day doing my emails and stuff like that, mm-hmm. which are important, but they just suck you in. It's like quicksand.
It's so true. Yeah, so you do every day, your first 90 minutes, you focus on the business.
And it's in my calendar, and
that's key. You got to put it in the calendar.
Unless I'm abducted by aliens, there's a fire, or I win the lottery, those first 90 minutes, that's all I do.
So what time till what time do you do that?
I start at 7 a.m. and that takes me through to 8:30 a.m.
Okay, good. That's awesome.
It's fine and quiet as well. You know, it's a two mug of coffee session.
Perfect. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I don't. I sometimes find those people who say I'm particularly keen on X, Y, or Z. It can get a bit cultish. I far rather pick up on what people have done or what they represent. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is that no one person, myself included, is perfect. Mm-hmm. We all have good points, bad points. And I'd rather pick up on a good point on somebody who, every other metric might be a horrible person, but yep. there might still be some good in there. So I don't say I particularly like X, Y, or Z. It's more, I like to pick up on what somebody has said or done that I feel is good, beneficial, and hopefully that I or others can pick up on and make use of.
Fair enough, absolutely. And what is your favorite online tool?
It has to be Google. Everything I do on a personal level, on a work level, comes down to searching for things. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to imagine a world without it.
Yes.
I mean, I'm of a vintage where I remember there was a time before Google. Mm-hmm. The real struggle is to remember who those other guys were. They just weren't as good, and they went by the wayside. But I remember when I was a student, I honed the skill of finding out information in old-fashioned libraries where they had books. And that took a lot of effort to track things down.
Yes.
And Google has made finding things very easy. Mm-hmm. But again, there's an art and a science and a perseverance in actually, out of Google says you have 2 million results. Mm-hmm. Whoop-de-doo, there's no way I'm going to wade through 2 million results. Mm-hmm. So how do you hone that down to the things that are most relevant? So it has to be Google. It's largely overlooked these days. There are sort of little things that people use, but I'm a big fan of Google.
I love that. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I like to think that I'm basically a reasonably decent guy and a reasonably honest guy and reasonably truthful guy. Mm-hmm. And I always try and do the best. And there have been occasions where that has not been to my personal advantage, but I feel you should do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because I came from a small town and everybody knew one another and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I was quite old before I finally realized that not everybody is a decent human being. Mm-hmm. And there are some bad people out there, some truly bad people, and some people who are just
in it for themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that can be problematic. But I haven't become so bitter, twisted, and cynical yet that I'm going to join their approach. So I just have to accept the fact that you have to filter everything through that truth credibility filter. But mm-hmm. most people are doing their best, trying to do the best.
Yeah.
And long may that continue.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Kenneth. It's been really great chatting with you.
No, likewise, it's been fun. It's passed very quickly. I know I've tended to speak a fair bit, but hopefully somebody listening to this has picked up just one nugget, whether it's the 90 minutes at the start of the morning, whether it's the book, or whether it's the identifying whether Google Ads is the right thing or not. But if one person has picked up one useful tip, then it's all been worthwhile. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.